It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today and let us surprise you.
Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday. So shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving and those signature Bobapedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Jesse Toppy on the ones and twos. Hey, Jesse.
What's up, guys? How's everyone doing? Lawrence Butler interview was great, by the way.
Thanks, man. He was good. He was really good.
Yeah, he's like, it's always dope when the player, because players, when they come in to do the interviews, they're not always so enthusiastic and stuff like that. They're just kind of, all right, I'm here for 10 minutes, blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah. Lawrence was into it and stuff like that. That was dope.
Yeah, enjoyed talking about his teammates, which is not always the thing you get. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube, by the way, hanging out with you till noon. Then when they hand it off to D'Lo and KC, which is produced by the great Jesse Tapia. No D'Lo, just KC and friends today.
Yes. Sarah Hodges will be there. James Hamm will be there. I'll be there.
Hell yeah.
Talk sports. It'll be fun.
Maybe I'll be there.
Maybe Kyle will be there.
Nah.
Oh, never mind.
I might. I don't know. That's coming up at noon. I was going to say something about Lawrence Butler, and I can't remember what it was. A's outfielder who just joined us. But Jesse, I don't know if you heard, but I texted the A's PR guy two nights ago. So Tuesday, no, last night was Tuesday, so Monday night. And I said, hey, the A's are winning tomorrow. Lawrence Butler's going to homer, and then he's going to be on our show. And then he led off yesterday's game with a homer. And I was like, yes. I have not wanted the A's to win a game that bad since the last time they were in the playoffs. I needed that call. I needed that win, and I still couldn't get it.
No, that worked out. I'd take credit for that if I was you.
Okay, two out of three works?
Yeah.
Okay, very good. Specifically because he homered.
You should have played if that on just your won. Underdog. You know?
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Well... Nah, it's fun.
Yeah, here's
a daily fantasy.
Here's a crazy. We were talking about this before or during the break. In his last 40 games, I pulled up the stats. In his last 40 games, Nick Kurtz has 171 plate appearances and 147 at bats. He's got 12 doubles, 18 homers, and 43 RBI in 40 games. He's batting .320. And he's got an OPS of 1.188. Did Kyle just disappear off the stream?
Yeah, my camera stopped working.
Oh.
While you figure that out, keep your screen on there so they can hear James on the stream.
Oh, okay. That's my bad.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, just absolutely unbelievable what he's been able to do over the last 40 games. And that's why he was AL Player of the Week this last week.
That is just for there we go. Hey, we're back. Just for math purposes and just to get 18 homers across 40 games. Does anyone know what the regular season record for home runs in a season is?
Well,
off the top of your head?
73.
Yeah, it's 73. That's that pace.
Yeah.
18 homers in 40 games is a 73 homer pace over 162 games.
Yeah, even the RBI total. I mean, that is, he's on pace.
Have we not talked about my RBI takes? Go ahead.
No.
Okay.
Well, I get keep it. Going. I get keep it. Going. Keep but going. He's on pace for 172 RBI in 160 games. Oh. Like, seriously, 43 RBI in 40 games. You
That's
remember
an insane number.
when the A's acquired Jermaine Dye?
Yeah.
And he did this right here. He had, I think he had 40 RBI or 41 RBI in his first 40 games, or the 40 games after he was acquired.
Jeez.
He was so good, and then I believe that's the year he fouled the ball off his leg in the playoffs and broke his leg. Yeah.
To give you an idea of how many RBIs 172 is, Aaron Judge led baseball last year by a lot with 144.
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
I mean, it's really, really wild to watch a kid just figure it out. And he also, he missed time. Mm-hmm. You know, he had an injury, had to miss, I don't know, like he missed 2 weeks.
And a 40-game sample is a legit sample size.
Yeah.
Well, it's not, he has a 73 homer pace across four games. Like, no, it's 40. It's a quarter of a season.
Well, even what you talked about, the home run, he just waited and flicked the ball over the left field fence.
Yeah.
I mean, just a laser over the left field, like
generating that much pop on a backdoor breaking ball that's going 78 miles an hour or whatever.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. He's a really, really good player. The future's bright for the Athletics. So this Keith Smith thing, as we shift gears back to the NBA, James Hamm, Kyle Madsen, and Jesse Toppy on the ones and twos, were the insider sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We talked about Dennis Schroeder and the Kings coach who talked with Keith Smith about Dennis Schroeder. Then there's a front office executive talking about Keegan Murray's possible extension.
Mm-hmm.
More or less said, we're really happy with Keegan. His role's been all over the place, but we're happy with his development, et cetera, et cetera. Keegan and his reps know how we feel about him. We're hopeful that we can get something done that keeps him in Sacramento for a long time. Okay. I don't hate anything there. His role has changed. Apparently, they're happy with his development. I think I'm done with the Keegan Murray development conversation. We know what he has to do.
Mm-hmm.
We know there might be things that make that prohibitive with the style of player around him. And that's it. With Keegan Murray, I like him as a player, but if everything we said last year is true, and if what this executive is saying is true, he's had a tough role every year. As a rookie, we asked him to shoot a lot more. Last year, he was often the fourth or fifth option. Guess what? He's going to be the fourth or fifth option again.
He is.
And probably again the year after that. Maybe third or fourth the year after that.
Yeah, the problem is that I just don't think you have an ability to stop some of the players from being who they are.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The idea here isn't that, you know, like that DeMar DeRozan is doing mm-hmm. anything wrong. He's doing exactly what you paid him to do.
Yep. 1000%.
And so the problem is that if you want Keegan Murray to have more shots or to develop in a different way, then it's upon the team. Mm-hmm. You know, sure, he can shoot more. He can try to shoot more. But realistically, it's upon the team to get a player that plays opposite him that is just a different style of player.
Mm-hmm.
And a player that shoots, you know, 10 to 12 times a game, not 17 times a game, and then another, you know, five trips to the free throw line.
So this is where when I say I'm sick of the Keegan Murray conversation, this is why.
Yeah, because it can't change. It's not going to change.
I like Keegan Murray.
Uh-huh.
This is the role he's going to be. For me to get on the radio and go, he needs to shoot at this one. Like, he'll do that half a dozen times a year
mm-hmm.
where he has a huge game and shoots it 20 plus times, 18 plus times, whatever it is. And outside of that, he's going to be a tertiary 3-and-D role player.
Yeah.
That's what I got. And I think that this front office executive kind of confirms that when he said he's played a different role every year. Last year, he was a fourth or fifth option. Like, cool, and he's going to be in the same team. So, Keegan Murray's an awesome 3-and-D wing right now.
Yeah, we were talking about Nick Clifford last night on the pod, and it was...
Kings Beat podcast.
Yeah, it was a funny conversation because it's like, well, you know, who's going to be the backup four? If it's not Isaac Jones, then who's your backup four? If it's Great not question. Dario Saric, who's your backup four? And, you know, the point was made, well, you could try to use Nick Clifford, just go small and use him over there too. And it's like, well, that's not really fair to take a young player and ask him to play a role that he's not really comfortable with. It's like, and my point was... they've done that the last two seasons to Keegan Murray.
That's a great point.
Like, hey, just shut up and play the power. We've got no one else. No one else is coming in that door. Like,
I think, and I know this is semantics and it's separate from what you're saying because you're right. It hasn't mattered to the Kings, but I also don't think Nate Clifford can probably play the four.
Oh, I agree. He's 6'5" and a half.
He's undersized.
I mean, 6'7" with shoes. Yeah. Close to 6'7" with shoes. So. I'm with you.
But it also might not matter. He might just be one of their five best dudes that they got to get on the court at certain points.
Yeah, we won't know until we see him play. Right. But I also, like, look, like everything we think about Keegan Murray, it's going to be the exact same thing that Nick Clifford is going to deal with in his rookie season.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he is going to get minutes or not get minutes depending on what DeMar DeRozan is doing in the game, whether he's holding his own defensively, whether he's hitting his jump shot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if DeMar DeRozan is on fire, like, Nick Clifford is going to play limited minutes. If DeMar DeRozan isn't on fire, he's not going to. And then when we get to the end of the game, we all know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Last 4 minutes of the game, DeMar DeRozan's going to be in the game, and Nick Clifford probably is not.
Yep.
And that's just the reality of the situation until the situation changes. And I'm with you, Kyle. Like, there isn't a lot more discussion. And again, people always think, oh, you just like bury DeMar DeRozan. It's like, no, I'm just being honest. Like,
yeah, this isn't. Do you want DeMar DeRozan to do something different?
Well,
if you're the Kings,
maybe.
No, you brought him in here to do this.
Yeah.
This is gonna do. It's not. This is not. This isn't even about DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah.
This is about the Kings have Domantas Sabonis, they have Zach LaVine, they have Dennis Schroeder and Malik Monk, and DeMar DeRozan. All five of those guys, probably not Dennis Schroeder, four of those guys outside of Schroeder are going to probably take more shots than Keegan Murray.
Yeah. I mean, and the fact is, Schroeder's going to be the guy with the ball in his hands.
Yeah.
So it's possible he'll take more shots too.
So this is not, like I said, it's not even a DeMar DeRozan thing. It's just that this is where Keegan Murray is. This is his role on the team.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to sit here and go, I need Keegan to do more, because he's not going to. It's not him. It's not any specific player on the roster. It's just that's where it is. And this front office executive who talked to Keith Smith confirms it.
Yeah.
Okay, he's a fourth or fifth option.
For right now. Like, I don't think that's his ceiling.
No.
Just like who he is today.
What do you guys think his ceiling is, though? Like, say things worked out, Keegan Murray, there was no DeMar DeRozan or Zach LaVine in front of him.
Like, his ceiling?
Yeah, what do you think he, like, if, say, he was able to get his shots, do we think he could be a 20-plus point-per-game player?
Yeah.
I think 18 to 20 is, like, wouldn't be that difficult.
No, I am right there with you. In fact, if he shoots the three at a better clip, he might get to 18 last year. So I'm.
Well, I mean,
you're right. That was
shots.
Too far. That
two
was too far.
Shots.
That was too much.
Yeah,
math wasn't math in there. No, it's we've heard this name before in relation to Keegan. But if we're talking ceiling, everything went right for him. You're probably looking at somebody who is in the I don't think quite this caliber, but in the realm of a Kawhi Leonard.
Okay.
Like a first or second option, really awesome defender. Like I said, I don't think he would have been Kawhi specifically, just because I think Kawhi was so great at his peak.
Yeah.
But I think that's where you're talking ceiling-wise, where he is that first or second option, and he's a lockdown wing defender.
I think, like, just right away, the player that I think he could be and, like, even be a better rebounding version of Cam Johnson. Like Cam Johnson's season this year, where he averaged 18.8 points, 47.5% from the field, 39% from three. Mm-hmm. That's who I look at Keegan. And, you know, the fact that Cam averaged 3.4 assists per game this year, for the first, like, 5 years of his career, he averaged around 1.3 assists per game. So it's just a matter of like Keegan would be able to expand his role if there was an ability to do that in Sacramento, but there isn't.
Yeah, not right now.
No, and the fact is
probably not for a couple years.
He's going to be in a starting lineup, and he'll be the best defender by a long shot in the starting lineup, and he'll get used to defend the most difficult person on the court the entire time.
That's it. And then can he knock down some threes?
Yeah. Do you have any legs left to hit the three? Yeah.
Yeah, an attack or closeout, that's it.
I think the interesting thing is, how much are you going to pay for that if you're the Kings?
Yes.
That is going to be the question. And, you know, again, I think the Kings have limited his value slightly. They've knocked down his value by just like the opportunity that he's had. But that doesn't mean that his agent is going to be okay with that.
I just got a text from Kenny Caraway about our conversation, and I can't wait for the handoff coming up at 11:45. I'm in half an hour.
I
completely disagree, completely in all caps.
Oh.
Yeah.
He's talking to you, by the way.
He's talking to me.
Yeah, he's talking to you.
Yeah, because I didn't get that text.
That's crazy. All right.
11:45, be here.
11:45, me and Kenny are going to box. Just me bleeding.
Yeah.
All right, we'll have more on the Keith Smith article where he discusses his notes from talking to Kings executives and coaches. We've got more on the roster evolution. And then you have less of a problem, and we're going to talk about why with the non-Keon Ellis extension, but this quote from an executive on why Keon Ellis didn't get an extension really rubbed me the wrong way. We'll talk about that. We got some training camp stuff coming up, and me and Kenny are going to fight in half an hour. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. This is ESPN 1320. It's Sacramento.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
DSW's semi-annual sale starts now. Twice a year, tons of deals, going fast. It's all or nothing. A designer shoe warehouse will give you something to brag about. Like 40% off clearance in all DSW stores or an extra 10% off clearance at DSW.com. Don't sleep on these savings. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. DSW, let us surprise you.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
It's America's 250th birthday, and I'm going to shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, they've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging, storage, and those signature Bob-opedic seats. So, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Sports Leader. I have a couple things. One, Bradley Davis is absolutely right. I think peripheral is the word I've been looking for, and I've been saying tertiary, which literally means third.
Oh, okay.
Bradley, yes, correct. Shout out to you, Bradley Davis. He's absolutely right. I'm not even joking. Like, I'm not even being a jerk. He's so right.
Shout out Bradley Davis, who's nice about it. Like, says like you're using it a little incorrectly. No, he's using it a lot of incorrectly. But
yeah, like I'm way off.
Do the little to be nice.
He could have been a super jerk about it and didn't. He's like, hey, you know what? You're using this word wrong.
Hey, genius.
Salute. No, I appreciate that. Appreciate that. Peripheral is the word. I'm like, over there.
Yes.
If DeMar DeRozan's the primary option, Zach LaVine's the secondary option, Domas would be the tertiary option. Yeah? Yeah. All right. Okay. Very good. Thanks, everybody. Appreciate you guys. Can we get... Hey, Jesse, I want to ask you this.
What's up, man?
Just because the Elk Grove Kia Talk on 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. Have you heard from Mitch recently?
Yeah, yesterday or 2 days ago.
Okay, so it's just our show.
Yesterday, we didn't get to his call.
We have a proof of life on Mitch, though.
Yeah, okay. No, he's good. Okay. He tweeted me. Mitch is of Latin descent, East LA, he said.
What?
Yeah, he said he's like me.
Oh.
Yeah. Shout out Mitch.
Interesting. We just have our call screener board here.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And it says Mitch and nothing else, and...
Hey, to give you an
idea.
We
haven't heard from Mitch.
To give
you guys
everybody,
want Mitch to call in? I could send the bat signal out.
Oh, Mitch tweeted Kenny yesterday for his birthday. Okay, very good. Now, we were just talking about, have you heard from Mitch? Like, is he doing okay?
Yeah, that's why
he's doing all right.
Killed the mics, because when I came back in from getting coffee, I'm like, huh.
Yeah, no.
We haven't heard from Mitch.
Yeah, and he's not banned. Like Mitch has been banned from a different Odyssey station. But he's not banned on this station. There's just times where I just don't get to the phone.
Okay.
Yeah, we have 2 hours, got a lot to get to, and it's like, oh, shoot, I forgot. Like, our guy TC was on the line forever yesterday and hung up finally because I didn't get to him.
Well, that was the day before. Bad. Yesterday, I think he did get through and complain about
Kyle
Shanahan.
Oh, yeah, we talked about
Kyle Shanahan,
that's right.
Again.
Yeah, so to give everybody an idea real quick, we're talking about Seth, our lead engineer, and we'll get to the King stuff here in a second. Me and Kenny going to argue in about 20 minutes in the handoff. So, yay, this is facts by Zabo in the chatty house. So, I asked Seth if we could get a call screen software, because what normally happens at a radio station, just peel the curtain back, producer answers the phone, says, what's your name, where are you calling from, and person says, this is Mitch, I'm in New Jersey, I want to talk about Domantas Sabonis and Maxime Raynaud playing together. Great, cool. That then gets typed into a screen on the producer's side, and I have that same software up so I can see the names and where they're from and what they want to talk about on my side.
So what you're saying is that there's a call screener, a producer, and then a host that would get something. Go ahead.
Well, usually producer is call screener, yes.
Okay, both. Okay.
Yes, but there's typically a technical director who runs the board, and then a producer who screens the calls, and then there's a tertiary person who runs the show. But I wanted that software. I said, hey, because Joe texts us. Joe does a great job, but I will not see it.
Yeah, sometimes if I forget to take my phone out of my pocket, then I don't see it.
Yeah, or I don't look down at it or whatever. Like, I just miss it. So I asked Seth. I said, hey, Seth, can we get this software? Should be pretty easy to install. Every computer has it. Every studio has it except ours. And he went, I don't really want to do that. And instead, we come in here the next day, I think. No, it was later that morning.
And we have been given
a whiteboard to write the names on.
Like I said, Seth just comes in here, will stuff you in a locker.
Just pulled me out of a locker to stuff me back in said locker. But this is why he's the best, because that call screen software was on our computers before the show started.
Yeah.
And I asked him that day.
That's funny.
Anyways. Shout out to Seth. And shout out to Keith Smith. This is The Insiders. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. I'm Kyle. He's James. Jesse Tapia filling in for Joe Brazil on the ones and twos. Keith Smith talked to Kings front office executives and coaches. And we talked about Dennis Schroeder, talked about the Keegan extension. He also talked with a front office executive about the Kings roster evolution. They're happy with the guys they added in the draft. They think Nick Clifford is one of the most versatile players in the class grade. Probably going to play a role right away. Then here's what he says about Maxime Raynal, who the front office executive called a steal. Quote, "He's kind of the perfect partner to Domas because he'll space the floor and we won't have to push him to play too many minutes too early." I want to pause there. Do you read that as he's the perfect partner to Domas insofar as he can be the backup? Or a perfect partner to Domas insofar as they can play together?
That's a really, really like fine line to walk because
I read that as they play together.
After reading it multiple times and listening to you say it, I think it could mean one or the other. It could mean both.
Sure.
But, you know, he's kind of the perfect partner to Domas because he'll space the floor. If I just stop there, it's like, oh, he's going to play alongside him.
Right.
Yeah. But then he said, and we don't have to push him to play too many minutes early.
Meaning Domas is going to play a ton of minutes.
And then he's going to scrape by whatever, you know. Right. Like, so they're going to partner up on the position of center. Yeah, so, like, look, I think, like, watching Reno play, there is a potential power forward there. Like, but it's going to take work. And and I don't know how much work, and I don't know if he's going to be able to make the transition and stay there. Because, again, he's young, but he's not that young. You know, what is he, 22 going on 23, right? Yeah. So there is potential for him to lean down, to work on his footwork, to work on his hips and his mobility and lateral quickness. And what I saw at Summer League was a player that showed a lot of the signs of somebody who could stay on the perimeter. And, you know, again, you need to make sure when you're developing a player like this and you're a strength and conditioning department and you have like kind of two models you're going to look at, you're going to go, okay, can we turn him into Vucevic? Because Vucevic looks physically a lot like him coming into the league at 19 out of USC.
Yep.
Or can you turn him into Lauri Markkanen? And that's the question. Can you work with
that's
him?
That's interesting.
And convert him into a player? And I'm not saying the full Lauri Markkanen experience where he's going to be able to take guys off the dribble and all that stuff, but certainly the three-point shooting, the defensive acumen, a little bit of the rebounding, all that stuff. Can you convert him into a true stretch four and a big stretch four at that? And if you can, and he's the answer long-term, and all of a sudden you move, like I can like map out like where Domas with Reynaud starting alongside him in year two with Keegan Murray at the three, with Neat Clifford at the two, you know, you could see this team all of a sudden be a bigger, like, you know, and again, maybe you look at Neat Clifford at that point and go, okay, could Neat Clifford be a Brandon Roy type player?
Sure.
And that's where, you know, you start to like, all right, you can see an outline of something that could be interesting. But the problem is we're a couple of years, we're a year away from that, at least maybe two, from being able to try something like that. And can you get Domas to stick around long enough to be like, okay, I'm still here, you know, like, so it's just difficult, but I do like the idea here. And I like the idea that they mention Isaac Jones.
This was, because we talked about this yesterday.
Yeah.
I'm of the mind, when you look at the power forward position for the Kings, let's take Maxime Raynal out of the conversation for a second. You have Keegan Murray's going to start there, and then...
Chirp, chirp.
Dario Saric is your most veteran option, but then there's Isaac Jones.
Yeah.
Who had some momentary flashes last year, but once Doug Christie took over, and you've chronicled this, did not play as much and did not get as much opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he played well enough in Summer League. Certainly had flashes and then had the two monster games to close the Summer League session. To me, we talked about this yesterday, Isaac Jones has got to be your backup four, at least to start. You got to give him a real runway to try and kind of take hold of that position. And the front office executive told Keith Smith, keeping Isaac Jones is a quote, keeping Isaac Jones was key for us too. He's got so much talent and he plays so hard, he'll be hard to keep off the floor.
Okay, so I love this, but I'm also going to remind everybody that we start Summer League every year by saying the same thing. It's Summer League. Please don't
no
think
doubt.
Too much,
yep.
Right? And I know with Devin Carter, everyone has been like, okay, I don't know if he's a player or not. Mm-hmm. I think with Neat Clifford, everyone's like, oh my gosh, I think he could win Rookie of the Year. With Renault, they're like, oh my gosh, he's a starting back. He's a backup center. And then now we get to Isaac Jones, and like, oh my gosh, he could be this or that. And mm-hmm. you're like, all right. So there, you have to take a step back and go, okay, it is summer league. Mm-hmm. And Isaac Jones had a tremendous final two games. He was absolutely spectacular.
He's dominant.
Yeah. And I hope that that is who we see all season long. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like he's going to have opportunity. And I just don't know how that opportunity will come into play. Because again, we've talked about this the whole time. They don't have another player who's 6'8", 6'9", 6'10", outside of like Dario Saric
mm-hmm.
and Isaac Jones. So we bring up Isaac Jones way late in that discussion, and proving that you're a guy who is going to be part of a rotation is really tough to do in summer league. I realistically want to see what he looks like at the end of the 10 weeks.
Sure, sure. You
know, what does he look like on day one of training camp? Has he stayed healthy the entire time? Has he continued to grow? Has he continued to refine his body? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, let's let him battle it out.
If he can't beat out Dario Saric,
yep,
we got problems.
Yeah.
But if it's even close, I'm giving Isaac Jones that early runway.
I hope so.
And because, I mean, what does playing Dario Saric do for you? That's kind of my question. And I think that's why so many people have latched on to Neat Clifford playing big minutes and Maxime Reynaud playing big minutes and Isaac Jones playing big minutes is not because they dominated summer league, but to me it's because they showed in summer league, oh, like they might, and you're right, training camp has to happen, and maybe Maxime gets into summer league or Reynaud gets into summer league, not summer league, excuse me, training camp, and it's a nightmare. Can't move his feet, can't take contact, isn't affecting shots at the rim, can't make anything. It's just like, oh my God, okay, this guy's got a ways to go. Okay, then we can alter our opinions then. But I think the reason people are getting so excited is because outside of this year, NBA guru Zach asked in the chat, give me something to be excited about aside from Neat Clifford.
Yeah.
It's like, man, I see it. You want to be excited about Maxime Reynaud. You want to be excited about Isaac Jones and this possibility that Isaac Jones is an undrafted role player, and now you got Isaac Jones, Keon Ellis, and you got two legitimate rotation players who were undrafted.
Mm-hmm.
When you start looking at 2027, 2028, and beyond, that makes this season more palatable.
I'm with you.
Why people might be, are at least that's why I think I am so bullish on those guys after just summer league.
Okay, and I'm also going to add this. Like, everyone in Sacramento heard about this potential Kuminga trade. Mm-hmm. Every single person heard about a potential Kuminga trade. And in that trade was, you know, Dario Saric.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't believe, that's why I have taken the approach that I have, that like there is a potential for Dario Saric not to be on this roster at all, that they could easily buy him out, stretch provision him, and clear mm-hmm. up $3 million. Mm-hmm. They could also wait until the deadline.
Mm-hmm.
Or wait until December, and when they're trying to pull off a deal, use Dario Saric's salary in that trade, mm-hmm. right? So there are a lot of ways in which you can use Dario Saric, but it's with the understanding that he's more of, I don't even want to call him an asset as much as I want to call him just like a $5 million coupon that you can use later for something else.
Sure.
And so I would not be surprised if he's like in mothballs on the side, just kind of waiting, and or that they would buy him out and clear up the roster spot, clear up a little bit of salary cap space.
Yeah. That's the homie Dario Saric.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the homie plays. It's possible. Maybe the homie plays, and maybe he's this year's Nemanja Bjelica.
I gotta say, if Dario Saric is getting minutes this year, it really just tells you how bad the Kings roster building or just situation was going into the year. It tells you. It's not like, oh, Dario could do some, or so-and-so's not ready. It's just, we're in a tough spot right now.
Because if you're talking about like Isaac Jones playing, or you're talking about Reynaud playing, realistically what you're doing there is you're taking your car out of gear and you're putting it in neutral, right? The old stick shift.
Yeah.
You're like in neutral.
Yeah.
If you're putting Dario Saric in the game, that really does feel like it's like going full speed and trying to jam the car in reverse. And you're like, oh no, that hurt my transmission. Yeah. That's what we're talking about. We're like, that's not good. That's a bad noise that just got made.
If there's a weird injury, Keegan Murray, rolls his ankle and has to leave the game for 5 minutes, and Dario Saric has to play, fine.
Yeah.
But if, I don't know, Isaac Jones would have to be a mess in training camp and in the preseason for me to be like, yeah, get those Dario minutes in instead. This is an experimental year. See Super what works, Dario. See what doesn't.
You know, it's funny. You remember we heard Mario Hezonja rumors early on? What if they had Super Mario and Super Dario? Same team.
Sure. Last thing, the Keon extension. This quote hit me the wrong way, man. On Keon Ellis and a possible extension, again, this is Keith Smith, talked to a Sacramento front office executive, quote, "That's the goal. We had a lot of discussions on the best way to handle things with Keon and the option we had for him, the team option. Ultimately, it's a show of trust that we picked up his option instead of making him a restricted free agent. That helped us add some talent this year that we might not have been able to get otherwise. Now we hope to get something done that keeps Keon in Sacramento because he's a really good player and different from all our other guards." So explain the money to me, because I got to tell you, the idea that you put Keon in limbo and potentially upset him to the point that he's like, I don't want to be here after this year. I don't know that that's worth the talent they added.
It's the ultimate roll of the dice. And like, look, the Kings can sit here and work an extension for him like ASAP. Mm-hmm. And that's what they should be doing. That would kick in next season, mm-hmm. right? And you got to hope that he says yes. You got to hope that like you didn't burn a bridge.
Mm-hmm.
But when I read this, it's an ultimate show of trust. Like, I think it's the King saying, like, look, please trust us. We will pay you.
I read that as them putting trust in Keon that he's not going to leave.
Well, maybe.
But anyways, you might be right. Go on. Sorry. Well,
but on top of that, the reason why, like, they had to do it this way, I explained this to you guys in the beginning. Like, there's this gray area between the salary cap right. and the luxury tax.
Right.
The Kings only had a certain amount of money in there. It's probably 18 to 20 million bucks to start.
Mm-hmm.
If you opted Keon Ellis out and then gave him that money, if you gave him, say, 14 million a year or 12 mm-hmm. million a year, you had no ability to sign Dennis Schroeder. So what you've asked Keon to do is, we're going to hit you in the pocketbook in this year, but we're hoping to give you a long-term deal that starts next season
mm-hmm.
and we'll take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we'll take care of you, but you have to understand that we will not be able to do anything this offseason if we opt you out and pay you. And I know people are, you know, they're going to be frustrated. Like, Keon himself, I guarantee you, he does not want to play for $2.3 million when the other opportunity is playing for $12 million or $14
million. Sure.
Like, right? He mm-hmm. wants the money, and rightfully so. I agree with him 100%.
Totally.
But at the same time, you now have Keon Ellis and Dennis Schroeder, and I know that's not earth-shattering, but having just one of them
mm-hmm.
or having one versus the other would have been, like, your team would have been weaker.
Sure.
And by being able to add, you know, Schroeder, the Kings at least brought in another player that's a rotational player that will help this team.
Yeah.
If they would have lost, you know, if they would have paid Keon, you would have basically run it back and had to find a $2 or $3 million a year point guard
mm-hmm.
to eat up that Keon Ellis salary. And it's tough, but I mean, I don't know. Like,
might have made sense if Malik Monk is going to start over Dennis Schroeder anyway.
We'll see.
Hey, real quick, salute to our guy Mitch. He's on the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320. Mitch, we wanted proof of life and he came through for us. How are you, man?
What's popping, guys? I just got back. Every town has a dead zone Wi-Fi. So then last time I heard you were talking about football. And by the way, I just saw 2 days in a row you left me hanging. I can understand. Yeah, there's a lot in sports. It's always, and it's mostly good in sports, other than the bad news. So I guess I got to stop being so sensitive and grow a pair, right?
It's not. I promise it's not you, Mitch. I promise it's never you.
It's not you. It's Kyle.
It's me.
Well, I think it's me, not you, but. Saturdays, with that station, I know you used to work there. You were great there, too. They let me on Saturdays. Just don't tell them, maybe. You gave me a break, but I know I overdo it. And for instance, you mentioned about, I sent him a happy birthday, Casey. He didn't acknowledge or respond, but everybody sees it. I don't understand this. I don't know if he receives this, has seen it, or just ignore me. But everybody knows what I'm doing, especially with the stupid stuff. I know. You can't say pretty girl, pretty dog. I get a bunch of fakes and trouble.
All right, thanks, Mitch.
We love you, Mitch.
What a legend. Thanks for calling the Elk Grove Kia Talk.
We got to go to break, Mitch.
Yeah, we got to go. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We're going to argue with Kenny, apparently.
Oh.
Or just me?
Okay.
I got the text. Kenny completely disagrees with what we were talking about on Keegan Murray earlier. Excited to get into that with Kenny Caraway next on the Insiders, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game, and head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hi, it's Sierra Miller. I can't wait for you to check out my new collection of shoes and accessories at Designer Shoe Warehouse. If you love shoes as much as I do, then trust me, I got you. From cute sneakerinas to the perfect flip-flops to stunning heels, these shoes are all style, no drama. It's a girl's girl summer, and DSW has just the shoes. Shop the Sierra Miller collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's America's 250th birthday, and I'm going to shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, they've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging, storage, and those signature Bob-opedic seats. So, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
That's also the handoff. Kenny Caraway in the building. D'Lo and KC. No D'Lo, just KC. Today, KC and friends.
Yeah, well,
KC and friends. Yeah. Sarah Regional and Sarah Hodges will not be here.
That's it.
Oh, word?
KC and friends.
Maybe just KC and the crew, the 1320 crew.
You know what's interesting is I had a Wednesday all lined up, and one by one, the scheduling didn't work out.
Yeah.
And I'm just, you know, I'm just going to knock on the table right now. Thursday might be overbooked, but nobody could do Wednesday.
Yeah, I meant to tell you later on. I can't. No, I'm just.
I'm about to shut it off.
Okay. Might have just shut it down.
I was like, dog, don't do that right now. Don't do that now.
We're going to be rehearsing lines from above the rim at 3 p.m. That's what we're going to be doing.
There'll be a lot of Casey and JT today.
He's going to do an entire hour in Jerry Jones' voice.
Oh, Jerry Jones was in the was on the show yesterday. Yeah.
Oh, what? Oh, good booking, Jesse.
In
nice
the building
job.
And everything. Yeah.
Yeah? How did Jerry... what he did? In fact, you know what? Hang on. I don't know why I'm acting surprised. Theater of the Mind. Like, I knew he was in here. I cut some of the sound from that today. I'm going to play some of that sound right now. Here's Jerry Jones talking about dunking on Micah Parsons instead of giving him an extension.
Well, KC, I just want to thank you again for having me on the show. And before we do anything,
I thought I cut that part out. Sorry.
Before we do anything, I just want to give a shout out to my guy, Stanley. Because I know Stanley's always listening, and he has my back when you and D'Lo try to throw me under the bus. So, Stanley, if you're listening, we can go to Morton's anytime and have a nice little dinner. But, KC, I just wanted to bring up Micah Parsons, and look, he only played 6 games, and why would I give him that money? And that reminds me of when I gave Dak Prescott money, and he missed 2/3 of the season.
I thought I cut all that first part out. That's crazy. The Morton's bit is, I wait for it every time. Like, how is he going to get the Morton's reference in here? It's really good.
Going to Morton's.
Kevin Clark, friend of the program, said on First Take yesterday, and I want to see if you agree with this, and then we'll talk about Keegan Murray, but he said that if the football gods came down and said, Jerry Jones, you can win the next 3 Super Bowls, but the catch is you cannot do any media. He said that the problem is that Jerry Jones would turn that deal down.
Do you believe that?
Yeah.
I don't believe it. I think you can.
You can win the next 3 Super Bowls, but you get to be no. You get no public. You can't be out in the public flaunting it. I don't think he does it.
So even after he wins the Super Bowl, like he can't.
You cannot
like,
be
go
in the press.
on the podium. And nope. I think he'd do it. I think he'd take the Super Bowls because he wants to win a Super Bowl so bad.
Not that bad, Kenny.
All right, Kenny Caraway, D'Lo and KC coming up here next in just a few minutes. But we were talking earlier about Keith Smith's article where he kind of just notebook dumped all of his conversations from Summer League. And we're talking about Keegan Murray and if you missed it, the Kings front office executive that Keith Smith talked to basically said they're happy with Keegan and his development. Asked to shoot a lot more as a rookie. Last year is often the 4th or 5th option. That can be hard to adjust to as far as an extension goes. Knows how we feel about him. We're hopeful we can get something done, blah, blah, blah. James and I were kind of the mind that, yeah, Keegan's probably going to do that again this year. Mm-hmm. Like, that's going to be his role on this team. You disagree?
No, I do not disagree. Okay. Here's where I disagree.
Uh-oh.
No, here's where I disagree. Yeah. And we were great content you were having to show, but I don't necessarily want to fight about this because I don't think there's anything to fight about. It's just
you're like, because I'm right.
well, it's almost like, you know, it's when people say like, this is kind of how you see the world. Like it's kind of how it is with Keegan Murray. What I disagree with, because the question was asked, I don't know if it was in the chatty house or you guys just asked yourself, but it was just like, what's his ceiling? What at the best?
Got it. Okay. Yeah.
And it wasn't just you. I disagree with James too, but I think you had said, I get what you're saying. You didn't say Kawhi, but like that type of player, defender, 3-and-D guy,
yes,
and all this other stuff could get up to like 20 points per game.
Second option offensively, probably second. First or second option offensively, and a lockdown defender.
I completely disagree.
Okay,
and
why?
This is where me and the people who think I hate Keegan Murray, you guys aren't hearing me.
Mm-hmm.
I love Keegan Murray.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a good basketball player. I want him on this team. He is a winning type of player. Like, you need a Keegan Murray if you're going to win. So I don't want him going anywhere. I just think Keegan is about where he's going to be at. I think others see Keegan. I accept Keegan for who he is and what he is.
Mm-hmm.
And I embrace that. And I think others look at, and James talks about, and others talk about too, he's being held back and he can do so much more. I don't think he can do so much more.
Interesting. Okay.
I don't. And this was what I brought up the other day. So you talk about a Kawhi-like player, or we'll even go like Mikal Bridges or something
That's
like
probably
that.
A better comp.
Yeah. I do think he can be closer to Mikal. I do, but I still think Mikal's a little better. This is why I brought up the Neat Clifford and that move and some of the things we've seen at Summer League.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's not about Keegan necessarily being held back. There are things that I just don't believe he can do. He can't do it. Like the little half spin step back that Neat Clifford did. in a basketball game, Keegan doesn't have that. Okay. He just can't do that. You look at somebody like Kuminga, for instance, and I'm not here to say one is better than the other, but if I told you, if I don't know if you guys remember the move I'm talking about, but if I told you, hey, can Kuminga, can he execute that move? Can you see Kuminga averaging 20 a night? You'd be like, yeah, I can see it.
You're
like,
talking about in the semifinal? Like just below the left elbow?
I think left elbow. I think it was against the Cavs, so it was like still pool play or whatever. Oh, okay. But he does like the little, I'll show you when the show's over.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But he does that move, and I was just like, yeah, I ain't never seen Keegan do anything remotely close to that because I don't think he can. Now, once again, that doesn't mean he can't be a good player, talking about Keegan Murray.
Sure.
That doesn't mean he can't be effective. I just don't think he has that in his game. And if you talk about a guy that can be a second option, you get, to me, you got to have that in your
game. You got to create, yeah.
You got to be able to do that.
Okay, so my rebuttal would be this. Mikal Bridges, rookie season, 8.3 points per game. Second season, 9.1 points per game. Third season, got a little bit more burn, 13.5. Fourth season, 14.2 points per game. In his fifth NBA season, he was averaging 17 points per game for Phoenix. Got traded to Brooklyn, went from 17 to 26 points per game.
How many points? Oh, my bad.
He went from 17 to 26 points per game.
Dang.
Then dropped back down to 19.6 the next season when his team was horrible and they had no, like, they weren't going anywhere. And then 17.6 playing as, what, the fifth option? Fourth option. The fourth option on the Knicks, right? Like, I think that Keegan can be that player. I don't think he can be the 26 because, and I also don't think Mikal Bridges is a 26-point-per-game guy. Mm-hmm. But I can see Keegan being a 20. I can see him being a 19.6 or 17.6. I can see him being like one of the best fourth options in the game, like Mikal Bridges, because the defense is where he's going to sort of make his money. So I don't disagree with you completely that, you know, like we talked about this the other day, that Nate Clifford has certain things in his bag that it doesn't look like Keegan Murray has.
Yeah.
But then we just have to rewind to the California Classic 2 years ago, and Keegan looked like the same. Actually, Keegan was a much better player than Nate Clifford was. Mm-hmm. Now, it was his second season versus, you know, Nate's rookie season. Right. But, I mean, the dude averaged, put up 30 a game for a couple of games and then bowed out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there is more there. It's just the opportunity isn't.
But real quick, in those California Classic games, that, like, this is the crux of what I'm saying. If you go back, look at how he scored. It was catch the ball, one dribble, pull up. It was curl off of this, one dribble, layup. Mm-hmm. It was never get the ball, twing, twing, cross. Oh, I lost them, getting to the, like, he can't do that, in my opinion. He can't do that. He doesn't have that ability.
The question I have, and this might be where I'll lean on you a little bit, having played at any kind of level, much less in college. That's where I think when I was talking ceiling, I think every year that Keegan's been in the league, his ceiling's come down a little bit. Because of just kind of his age and that development curve. And like at some point, you just kind of are who you are.
Mm-hmm.
But I took that as what would his ceiling have been from the jump if he had gotten these different opportunities.
Gotcha.
If he had come into a different scenario. If he had been drafted to the Wizards where it's just like, hey, it's your show, dude. You're the fourth pick. You go get it.
Yeah.
I do think that we might have seen that improve, that handle improve a little bit. But I also think there's probably something innate to it.
Right.
Yeah. When it comes to shot creation,
even at Iowa, like he wasn't.
Yeah.
Bad. Like that's
a lot of posts.
And once again, doesn't mean he can't be a good player, an effective player, or
we're just talking
like
his ceiling.
Though. Yeah. He doesn't get to the line. He doesn't create. You know. Mm-hmm. So like for him to get to 18, 20 points per game, it would have to be damn near on him just making, like shooting like 58% from the field.
Sure.
Like, you know what I mean? Because even three-pointers, like, is he going to has he pull up from beyond the arc? He don't really have that. He kind of got the ball in his right hand, sidestep, but that's off a pump fake. Pump fake, sidestep, create space, and hit it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's asked to, like, create an isolation thing, that's just not his game and not his ability. And then when you talk about, like, second option and stuff like that, second option got to carry the offense at times.
Mm-hmm.
Think about second options that we've seen in the Final Four of the NBA.
Yeah.
We're talking about J-Dub.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about Julius Randle.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about Cat.
Pascal Siakam.
Pascal Siakam or mm-hmm. Tyrese, whoever you think is one or two.
Mm-hmm.
That's no I love him. No, Keegan Murray is not that player.
Sure.
So that's where you talk about, he's a fourth option. That's probably where he's at. Best case
you think
scenario,
that's his ceiling?
His ceiling is probably third option. And then you got to.
Tertiary option.
Yeah. And then you got to ask yourself, like, what kind of team are you? Like, are you a championship contender with Keegan Murray as your third option? I don't know.
Well, it just depends on who the number one option is. Because I'll tell you the player that he still comps as. He still comps as a player who could easily be Chris Middleton. And Chris Middleton.
He don't dribble well enough or create off the bounce enough. Chris Middleton.
Well, it's because he doesn't have the ball.
It's because he can't. Have you seen Keegan dribble for more than three times and make a move and shift somebody? That's what Chris would do.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just like watching assist numbers change in players over years. It really is about them getting opportunities. And then all of a sudden their numbers start jumping. Well, we talk about Cam Johnson. Cam Johnson mm-hmm. averaged like 1.4 assists the first 5 years of his career. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden last year he's at 4-something.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's because he has the ball in his hands and he's being asked to create. And as you create more for yourself, it opens opportunities to create more for others, which is why you see a guy like DeMar DeRozan average 4.5 assists for the Kings last year, 4.4 and 5.5 mm-hmm. the year before, just because he draws a crowd and all of a sudden they're wide open dudes. Mm-hmm. It's just Keegan isn't given the usage rate that it would take to get to those assist numbers or to create for others. I don't think we've seen who Keegan is on the court. Like mm-hmm. I think we've seen who he is on the defensive end, and we saw who like this stripped down version was as a rookie. Like you're just going to shoot from the corner.
Mm.
And he was great at that. But what we haven't been able to see is the next step. And it's because, to be honest, the Kings were good. Like in his first and second seasons, the Kings were a good team. Mm-hmm. And year three, they weren't nearly as good, but you added pieces that did not help foster like his growth. Mm-hmm. And that's why I really am surprised that you're going to walk into this season with a run it back for the most part, because mm-hmm. the shot distribution is not going to be all that much different than it was last year. If you just look at the pieces that are in place, you're going to lose a few because De'Aaron Fox isn't there and Dennis Schroeder is, but I'd also, you know, Malik Monk took a huge step in shots per game last year. And unless they fully commit to giving him the opportunity to grow into that player, it's going to be really tough to do.
So, James, you asked the question, and we hadn't answered this yet, so we can do this all as a family here. Is that worth?
Real quick.
Go ahead.
Is there an ID we need to do?
Yeah, you know what? That's good. That's good producing by you. I got the new ID. I got it from Charlie. Here we go. You're listening to KIFM West Sacramento, KRXQ HD2 Sacramento, ESPN 1320, Sacramento's sports leader, always on the free Odyssey app. Anyways. I'm getting used to this. I'm getting used
me
to this
too,
extended handoff.
Too.
If you're listening right now and you're like, oh, wow, they're going to go away and then D'Lo and KC are going to come back at some point afternoon. No. The way we do this now is we just yap for a while, and then D'Lo and KC starts.
Just talk.
Yeah, that's how we're going to do it
today. So I might keep these guys here until about 1:15.
Hey, are they paying for that?
No. I didn't say.
I know you got it. No. What's that worth when you're talking extension for Keegan? Is it $25 million? Is it $400? Is it $480? $500?
I mean, me personally, I'd probably go 480. You know, I'd probably be somewhere around there. The market might dictate. You know, who knows how people feel about Jabari Smith Jr. and mm-hmm. and the contract he was able to get. So that might change some things a little mm-hmm. bit. But if all things are equal and we're doing this like what's right, I think 480 is good. Like it'd be kind of tough to give a guy that you look at who is a really good defender,
mm-hmm.
but he's your fourth option, $25 million a year. That's a lot. And then, and like, And here's what I would say about the opportunity for Keenan. Mm-hmm. And once again, I'm not saying he has gotten the opportunity. I understand that argument. But I'll ask both of you guys this. Let's just go with, and this isn't the end all be all, but let's just go with like Middleton. Middleton mm-hmm. with tween tween, cross, has he from 17 pull up.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan Kuminga doesn't get the opportunity, doesn't get to play. But can you envision Jonathan Kuminga making that move and hitting that shot?
Yes.
Yes.
Watch him do it.
Yes. Can you envision Keegan Murray doing that? And after 3 years of watching him, have you ever looked at Keegan Murray and be like, man, he got a lot more in his bag. They just not giving him an opportunity.
I feel like there's been, and this might be, Zach Lowe talked about this, how flashes don't really matter. Because he was talking about Shaedon Sharpe, and I watched all of Shaedon Sharpe's drives, and there's flashes of him as a pick-and-roll creator, but not it's 30 plays out of 500 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely been flashes where you watch Keegan attack a closeout and finish through contact. He's like, ooh, like, okay. There's been some stuff in the mid-post where you're like, man, they should get him the ball there more.
Mm-hmm.
But to that point, I cannot think of a time where I was like, wow, Keegan put the ball on the deck and handled.
Okay.
And just blew by somebody and created his own space. He just doesn't have that.
Once again, that doesn't mean he's bad.
I do think there's more in his bag. I just don't know if it's a creator off the dribble like that.
What do you think Kuminga's usage was last year?
It's hilarious. It's a comically high number. 32.7 or something insane?
27.4.
27.4.
Okay, so usage is how much you have the ball and during the time you're on the court, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what do you think Keegan's was?
18.
15.
Ooh.
15. Basically, Kuminga had the ball, just to put it mm-hmm. in, Kuminga had the ball as much as Keon Ellis and Keegan Murray combined.
But once again, these are two different arguments.
I would agree with that.
Opportunity and the ability to do something are two different things I'm talking about.
Mm.
Like, you can...
yeah, I get you.
So if Keegan got the ball that many times, you think he's going to start dribbling and doing all this other stuff?
Well, if he was allowed to go do that and not be in an offense that was catching... And let's be honest, nobody wanted Kuminga to do that in Golden State. He just did it, and it's why they don't want to bring him back, because he won't play within a system.
I want to take the Kuminga thing out of this, because I don't think it matters. To be totally frank,
I think the argument
what Kenny's trying to get at is, does Keegan Murray have the skill set? Do you believe he has the skill set to do that?
I believe we don't know if he has the skill set or not.
Okay. Have you ever? Was he at Iowa where he probably had a higher usage and was doing all this? Was shifty, and then he got to Sacramento and they changed his role.
Well,
is that what happened? Like, we never even saw it at Iowa.
No,
it was catch and shoot. It was in the post. It was
in the post.
1-2 dribbles. It was finished. Yeah. Like, that's his skill set. Once again, it doesn't mean he's bad. But that's
Jonathan Kuminga back in play, by the way. I just wanted to get that ironed out because it felt like it was going the wrong way.
But that's his skill set. He does not. I've never seen, now watching four or five years of Keegan Murray, him have the skill set to be able to create in an isolation situation.
Yeah, I want to see
it. I've never seen it.
I want to see it because, again, the Kings, they took a player who was in the 98th percentile in post-ups in college and didn't let him post up at all in his first 2 years. Mm-hmm. At all.
I would like to see. You want to know.
That is what I agree with. I think there's more in Keegan's bag, and it may not be. I might be way off saying he could be a secondary option. I might be off on that. Mm-hmm. But I do think what James said is spot on, in that there are more ways he can score that they don't take enough advantage of, in my opinion.
You want to know? I don't know if you guys are like this. I don't know if you guys are ready for this.
Oh, man.
You want to know where Keegan really needs to be and who he really needs to be looking at and who I really think he has a skill set that kind of resembles or could potentially when you talk about a ceiling?
This is a fun game. Okay, active player?
Active player.
Okay. Is it Western Conference?
Yes.
Okay. Kings Division?
Yes.
Ooh. Nick Batum.
No.
Dang. Bradley Beal.
No.
Nah, Bradley Beal's too good.
Kamara?
Oh, Tumani Kamara is a good one.
No.
Who is it?
DeMar DeRozan.
You're right. I wasn't ready for that.
Because,
I wasn't ready.
And this is why
bit.
I say that. Because what DeRozan does, and this would be an argument as to like stunting Keegan's growth or something like that.
Sure.
What DeMar
He's going to be on our side, James.
What DeMar does is he gets the ball 15 to 17 feet away. He's in a triple threat position. Mm-hmm. 1-2 dribbles, I'm going to pull up on you.
Yes.
1-2 dribbles, I'm going to rip through and get to the bucket. Mm-hmm. DeMar doesn't do all the 20-20. He don't do all that a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
He gets this is what I'm talking about with Keegan. Get that ball in a triple threat situation, be able to face up, and if you can get by somebody, get by him on one dribble. If you can't, pump fake, you're 15 feet away, you're 6'8", 6'9", mm-hmm. shoot over the top of these guys.
I think
that would be where I think, and I agree with James as well, get him on the block as well, get him posting up. Mm-hmm. Who else post up? DeMar DeRozan from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
If you could incorporate that type of game, like if he could study DeMar DeRozan's game and when DeMar leaves, incorporate those spots
mm-hmm.
into his game, I think that's where you could see some of the best of Keegan Murray, and you incorporate that with the fact that he can already shoot the three. He's a catch-and-shoot guy because that doesn't require a whole lot of shiftiness. That doesn't require a whole lot of super ball-handling ability.
Mm-hmm.
That requires precision. That requires being able to pull up over somebody 15, 17 feet away.
So we've now circled back to you being on mine and James' side of this argument where he could be a primary or secondary offensive option.
No.
He just has to be DeMar DeRozan while doing it.
No, but that I think that might be that type of
game.
Those type of areas where he's good in his offense, I think that's where you can maximize Keegan Murray.
I would love is for Keegan Murray to have a 25% usage rate and for us to see.
I think that's where we both kind of land in this big picture thing with Keegan
uh-huh.
is he's going to have the role he's going to have.
Uh-huh.
But to your point, there are more ways he can be effective, I believe, than the role he has right now. And you just went over some of them.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Is the shots just aren't going to be there. I don't think that's a Keegan problem. I don't think that's a DeMar problem. I don't think that's a Zach LaVine problem. I think it's just, hey, this is the roster. So we could want Keegan to post up more. We could want Keegan to operate out of the mid-range more.
Mm-hmm.
But like that's not on their list of offensive priorities.
Let me ask both of you guys this one. And James, you talk about his usage rate and everything else like mm-hmm. that. We compare it to Mikal Bridges. We compare it to Cam Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
When their usage rate was upped when they were in Brooklyn, mm-hmm. was that a good team?
Ooh.
Well, no, but I mean, let's be honest. The Kings aren't really a good team either.
I know. So we're cool with that. Up is usage. They won't be any good. That's good.
Yeah, but we don't know because let's be honest.
Like, I mean, that
Brooklyn has no other talent to go with that. Like
the Kings don't either. Yeah, really, if you up his usage, what I'm saying is, and this is what I've said.
Yeah,
sure. You want him to be a third option.
Brooklyn didn't have
Domas. How good is your team going to be?
Brooklyn didn't have DeMar. Brooklyn didn't have Zach LaVine.
No, I mean, cool.
Dennis Schroeder. They didn't even have a Malik Monk, though.
I'm going to ask you the question. If Keegan is your third option, how good is that team going to be?
We don't know.
Yeah, I would be interested.
His second season when Monk was out.
They were a 46-win team, and he was a third leading scorer?
No. When Monk was out, it was Fox, DeMontis, and me and Kyle had these discussions. Mm-hmm. We want to see Keegan up his FGAs a lot. He did that. I think they went 3-9 in that stretch. They struggled down the stretch.
That is, I think, my bigger question with Keegan than skill set, because I think James is right. We don't, like, maybe he, if they went into the offseason and said, hey, work on your handle, you're going to create a little more for us.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he does that. And maybe he gets to a point where he's able to create a little more. We don't know. I think the problem is, I lost my train of thought. That's a significant problem right now. We're back on track. I think the bigger problem is if they said, hey, Keegan, Malik's out tonight. DeMar's out tonight. Zach LaVine, he's going to play, but he's a little hobbled. He's got a little tight hamstring or something. So he's going to be 50%. We need you to go. I don't know that that's his mindset as a player. Where I think if you went, hey, you're the third option on this team, you might be right. That might not be a very good team, but I don't think it's because of Keegan's skill set. I think it's because of the way he approaches the game.
He was the third leading scorer in the starting lineup in, not last season, the season before. He averaged 15.2 a game. Mm-hmm. Monk coming off the bench averaged 15.4. Mm-hmm. And just like in all honesty, you can attest to this. You have said multiple times Malik Monk was the most important player on that team. So when Monk steps off the floor, I'm not going to ding Keegan Murray for a 3-9 record.
I'm not going to ding him for it either. But I'm saying that creates a problem. Remember that time where nobody could create outside of De'Aaron Fox. They were shooting 49 threes a night that allowed them to blow 20-point leads because they couldn't. This is part of the reason why DeMar DeRozan got here because they looked at that stretch. Where they're like, we got nobody outside of Fox that can get to the foul line or can score inside the paint. We were shooting 45 threes a night because that was our only chance. And they said we needed something different. We needed more. We needed something to help Fox and Sabonis out in those situations. That's not Keegan Murray's fault. But we were all having those conversations at that time with Keegan Murray as the third option. And Keegan was aggressive. Keegan, me and Kyle talked about it regularly. He upped his FGAs during that time. He got to about 15 to 18 shots a night, and he probably averaged about 17, 18 points per game. Mm-hmm. So he played well. I don't have no issues with how he played during that time. What I'm saying is at that time, we all said it clearly wasn't enough. They need more. Mm-hmm. And that's all I'm saying.
They needed another creator without any question. And they also, they needed another starting level forward because that's when, again, Harrison Barnes decided that he just wasn't going to engage. And that was a problem. So, I mean, hey, look, things could have been much different. You know, again, if they would have pulled off the Cam Johnson trade that they allegedly had set up on draft night, that would have been different. If they would have taken a different route other than DeMar DeRozan, we wouldn't have seen Keegan Murray go from 15.2 in year two to 12 in year three.
12 a night, man.
We probably would have seen him go from 15 to 18 and be a legitimate third scorer on this team. And that's tough, but like the NBA is a game of opportunity. And hey, that opportunity may never come back around for him. And that's tough. And like what you mentioned, he might have to wait 2 years to see if he can be that player again. And now we're looking at like a 27-year-old Keegan Murray, like, huh, now he's got that in his back. Like, but that's what the league is. It's about opportunity. It's about taking advantage of your opportunity and about, again, owning a role. And I think Keegan Murray's been asked to own a very specific role, and he's done pretty much the best he can in that role when you're the fifth option in the starting lineup.
Real quick, on the Keegan Murray front, because I think this needs to end on this note, because I think we're all in agreement on this. The role Keegan Murray plays is valuable. What he does on the court, let's remove ceiling for a second. What he does on the court matter.
Absolutely.
If the Kings in 2029 are competing for a title and Keegan Murray is the starting three or four and just kind of being Keegan Murray that we know now, you can win with that. You have better players around him. But I just want to make it clear, nobody thinks Keegan Murray's bad.
No.
We're talking ceiling and additional things to add to his game.
Once again, the basis of this conversation that I routinely have with people about Keegan Murray is, and nobody wants to hear this, they'd be like, KC thinks Keegan sucks. I think Keegan Murray is fine. I think he's fine.
He's a valuable NBA player.
I last year, he struggled early. He bounced back. He got his numbers up where they were supposed to be. He's cool. Like, that's good. And this is where we differ. People say, oh, man, Keegan being stunned, he could do more. I say, I don't think he could do more. And I like where he's at. I think the pieces around him need to get better. Keegan Murray and what he brings to the table is cool. Like, he's doing his job for what I think his skill set is. The Kings need to get a point guard, or they need to figure out something. Sabonis needs to play better. All this other stuff. Like, the people around him need to step their game up. I think Keegan Murray is perfectly fine.
Sure.
But that's where we disagree, because people say, hey, he need to be doing more. He getting stunted. I said, nah, he's fine. He's doing perfectly fine.
Anything else?
No, I'm good.
We good on this? All right, very good. D'Lo and Casey coming
up. Hey, where the hell are you going? Where are y'all going? We still got another hour.
Drag this out as long as possible.
We'll just do this for every player on the roster.
He's not there no more. Don't matter. It was one of the random kings. I forgot his name.
Poojetter.
Shout out Poojetter. I used to see him all the time at Hacks. He's got a shoe store now.
You know what? Yeah, let's just name random Kings players the next 45 minutes. We're kidding.
Who is on the coaching staff with the Portland Trail Blazers?
Oh, he's on the staff now?
Yeah, he was their G League coach. Yeah, every time he comes into town, like, he comes up, gives you a big hug. He's
good people.
One of the nicest people
really,
ever.
Really, really skilled at basketball. He's really, really good.
Yeah.
That and his sister was one of the fastest women alive.
Yeah, man.
He's one of those.
Carmeletta Jeter? I think that was the name.
Pooh Jetter's a really good example of, like, NBA players are so good. NBA players are so much better than everyone else at basketball.
He was so
Pooh Jetter could walk into any open gym right now and drop 50 on
it. It was like Brian Scalabrine said once that he's closer to Michael Jordan than we are to him.
Yes, which is facts. That's facts.
It's facts. Pooh used to come into the training facility I used to work at and work out, and, man, he was so good.
Salt of the earth. Yeah. One of the best dudes ever. Just a nice guy. Oh, yeah.
Were some of the best dudes ever as well. For James Hamm and Jesse Toppy, who helped produce the show today, I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders. Back tomorrow at 10. But don't go anywhere, because D'Lo and KC is starting right now on ESPN 1320 and Sacramento Sports Leader. Drink water, be nice to people, but also don't go anywhere, because D'Lo and KC is happening now.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to lowes.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit lowes.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's, it's refreshing!